Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Infobeam Technologies Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Surabhi Jain. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Stanford. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining us Q2 FY20 earnings call for Infobeam Technologies Limited. The results and investor update have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, Co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you will find on our website. With that said, now I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you very much, Surabhi. Thank you, all the participants, for joining in. This is the quarterly update from Infobeam. I'll quickly go through the brief overview of the company for those people who are new to the company. Infobeam is a software services company established in the year 2000 with the three of us. In 19 years, we have grown from strength to strength, from three-people company to now about 900-people company. In the process, we have achieved CMM Level 3 certification on the quality of the services being offered. We also are focused on business segments like product engineering, digital transformation, and automation and DevOps. We have, until this quarter, we used to have two facilities for software development, one in Indore and another one in Pune. Now we added one more facility in Bangalore. So put together, now we have three development centers in India, and we have three, actually four sales offices overseas, two in the U.S., one in Germany, and one in Dubai. And now put together, we have about 900 people after the acquisition. So those of you who are unaware, in the month of September, we announced, end of September, we announced the acquisition of Philosophy.is, which is a design and innovation consulting firm based out of San Francisco, sorry, based out of L.A. and New York, Manhattan. It's a team of professionals which are very good at design and innovation prototyping, which is kind of a forward integration for Infobeam, where we are experts in large-scale development, maintenance, implementation, and maintenance, while they are good at design and prototyping. So it's kind of a, now the combined entity, we have full end-to-end services to offer to our clients and their clients as well. So that's a significant transaction, that's a significant addition to the family that we have successfully done in the month of September, and the payments were made in the month of October. Last fiscal, we have closed at 120 crores in EBITDA, about 25 crores at a margin of 21%, PAT at 17 crores at a margin of 14%. And then last four-year CAGR on revenue and EBITDA, revenue side is 29%, and on PAT side is 33%. The geographical distribution is that we get revenue, about 90% revenue from the U.S. market, about 5.5% from Europe, and about 3.5% from Middle East. Apart from the three founders, we have a significant team of middle management which we rely heavily for our growth. The people who are directors of delivery, who are heading HR or client success, and also, you know, design, finance, business development, sales. These are people with who have been with InfoBeans for quite some time. The average is more than a decade. And these are the strong pillars, which are homegrown talent. On top of it, we anticipate our future growth coming in. So quick view of the milestone, as I said, the last milestone, the major milestone was acquisition. We have been receiving good awards all along on the being a great place to work or a dream place to work, as well as the best employer brand. We recently also received a best exporter award in the month of October by the hands of Honorable CM, Mr. Kamal Nath, in an award ceremony organized by Business Today in Bhopal. So that happened this month, which is not in the presentation. So we have, as I said, the third facility got added very recently. So put together, we have about 1 lakh square feet of space, which can house more than 1,100 people. At this point in time, we have 850 in India, about 50 in the US. The few highlights of the last quarter, we have added 9 new clients in the quarter. And in the previous quarter, we added 4. So put together, we have added 13 clients in the last 6 months. As I mentioned, we've been covered by Business Today magazine as well as one of the best SMEs, performing SMEs for the last 3 years. And the same group, Business Today, organized an award ceremony where we received this award from the CM of MP. And one interesting thing on the client acquisition that I wanted to highlight here is in the history of InfoBeans, is the first time that we have got a contract, an assured commitment of $1 million, which we have signed last month. So this is from American Society of Mechanical Engineers. In short, it is called as ASME. So ASME has given us a contract which will be concluded in 2 years. So it will have reflection in 2 fiscals, this fiscal and the coming fiscal. And the total value of the contract size is $1 million at this point in time. So that's a first $1 million contract, so to speak, for us. A quick highlight on the acquisition of philosophy. As I said, the bigger amount of synergy is, for both parties, it is a win-win. We go back to our customers where we can say that now we have design capabilities as well. And for record, I must tell you that we have over 60% revenue coming from product companies. So we do a lot of product engineering work as a business, and we can pitch philosophy capabilities to some of these customers where they would want to go for a new product or wanting to launch a new thing. And we can help, we can seek help from philosophy to do design and innovation prototyping for them. Similarly, philosophy was also experiencing that they're losing money on the table because any big deal that comes their way, the design component was only 1/10 of the project size. But since their rates are very high compared to the companies in the offshore market, the clients don't used to give them the development work. And therefore, now when we go pitch together, the development work can also be taken by philosophy. Obviously, at a lesser rate, but they will not lose the contract, and they will actually service the contract end-to-end. So that's a win-win for both of us. And we have already started working on a project at this point in time, and we are working together to integrate our sales team so that we can jointly pitch our you know, combined offering to our customers on both sides. So the clients that I mentioned here, you know, in the previous slides as well, these have been continuing clients with us. In the InfoBeans portfolio, there are 7 Fortune 500 customers, And in philosophy portfolio, there are about 5 Fortune 500 customers. So that's a significant addition for us also from a client addition point of view. I'll skip the vertical part and directly go to the future growth strategies. I think this slide continues with us right from the IPO days, and we continue to stick to the same set of strategies because all of them are working for us. You know, there are strategies where we go into growing organically, like, you know, upselling in the same clients. We continue to focus and generate repeat business from our existing set of customers. Similarly, we are also focused in terms of targeting the right set of customers for the new business and the same segment that we operate in, so we get a faster turnaround. Then we have a dedicated sales team in all the geographies, which allows us to, we have a feet on the ground, which allows us to do a quick one-on-one with a lot of prospects and generate a good lead, a good sales pipeline from there. Our new client acquisition has been pretty good in last 18 months or so. We usually used to acquire 6 clients a year, but as I said, in the first 6 months itself, we got about 13 new clients. So our sales engine is also churning out good leads and good outcome. The next comes is the inorganic growth. We keep saying that we want to acquire companies and, you know, add on our capabilities and also look at the aspiring areas like ServiceNow or user experience or innovation, design innovation, and automation. So these are the areas that we are focused on, and we have already seen one acquisition in our plate. We still have a decent amount of cash in the book and the capability to take a slight amount of debt, which allows us to, you know, further scout for new companies or new targets. So our acquisition, you know, we have done one acquisition and we continue to integrate it. At the same time, we continue on our inorganic chart and look for right opportunities. Let me tell you, this is a much longer sales cycle as compared to the organic sales because the company that we acquired, Philosophy, we've been talking to them for more than a year now. So we first engaged with them in last September of 2018, and we finally concluded the transaction in 2019, September of 2019. So this is a long cycle. You know, obviously we don't want to lose the momentum because now we are getting a lot of inbound queries as well. So there's a good momentum that we have. We want to continue on that path. And let me assure you that, you know, we are 3 founders, and the effort on the inorganic side does not impact negatively the effort on the sales side. So we are independently, you know, operating and growing the business on all directions. Organic side, there are 2 founders working on that, and then I am working on the inorganic side. So there is no way we are hampering the organic growth. At the same time, we are accelerating the growth momentum by adding inorganic mix into the mix. Quickly moving on to the consolidated income statement for the last 5 years. Another update that I wanted to share with you is we used to have our accounting as per IGAAP, but now since we are on the main board, we have now moved our accounting practice into accounting presentation into Ind AS, and therefore the slide on the consolidated 5-year statement that you see is as per the IGAAP. But when I move further, the quarterly numbers that you see now are as per Ind AS, and we have redone the numbers right from 1st of April 2018. So all the quarters that you're seeing on the quarterly numbers are restated as per Ind AS. And there's a balance sheet also as per 30th September, which is restated as per Ind AS. So when I look at the quarterly numbers, from the previous quarter, we have grown in revenue from 30.9 crores, almost 31 crores, to about 33.7 crores. The good news here is we have been able to contain our employee benefits expense. We have reduced it slightly from 19.8 crores to 19.2 crores. And since it is restated as per Ind AS, there is a significant jump in EBITDA margin from 22% to 29%. And the PAT margin has also improved from 15% to 21%. So, obviously reflected in a better EPS from 1.9 to 2.9. Then, so that the real impact on the Ind AS conversion is by way of increase in net worth by about 3 crores, a decrease in total comprehensive income by 2 lakhs, an increase in net EBITDA by 1.5 crores. This is due to the various things like the rental lease that we have for all the offices is converted into a right to use asset. And therefore, the expenses go as an amortization thing. Therefore, the EBITDA has taken a jump. But since we have performed better, we have also improved our PAT as well. So I think I will now open for Q&A. I'll ask the operator to let people unmute and ask questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Anirudh Bhandari from Bhandari Capital. Please go ahead. Anirudh Bhandari from Bhandari Capital, your line is unmuted. Please go
Hello.
Ahead with the question.
Hi, Avinash. Congratulations for the acquisition.
Thank you.
I have two questions. First is on the cash flow. So the cash flow generated from operations seem to be quite low at 5 crores. Whereas last year, the entire year, we generated around 19 crores. Can you just justify the reasons for the same?
So you're saying that the cash flow generated is 5 crores as compared to 9 yes. crores, right?
It was 9 crores for last year 6 months and 19 crores for the entire year last year. So hello?
You're saying that since we have generated 19 crores last year, at this point in time, we only have 5 prompts for the first 6 months, right? Is that the question?
Is it because of Bangalore expansion, etc., or receivables? Is there any lag in receivables?
No, so I'm looking at the cash flow that was for 6 months that I have in front of me. I think it is more to do with the accounting standards, the Ind AS restatement that has happened. I'm not fully aware of this. Let me come back to you on this. Would that be okay?
Sure. Because I don't think the cash flow doesn't, the accounting standard doesn't impact cash flow. Anyways, the second question is, can you give some background on accounts finance of our new acquisition philosophy? what are the margins and are they generating free cash flows or are they burning cash, etc.?
All right, so we did disclose it that they have they are expecting to close. So their calendar is January to December. They are expected to close their this 2019 as a fiscal year, as a calendar year. They are expected to generate about 10 million revenue.
Okay.
And their profit margins are in the range of 17%. EBITDA margins are in the range of 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what they should be doing. From a cash flow point of view, we are still, working on because they have 9 months of business under their belt and 3 months under us in terms of the calendar year. So we need to figure out what is the cash flow that we will be able to finally manage after the payments which are due to them. So, but the from a EBITDA and PAT margin is what the number that I can share with you. So it is still under process because we are still figuring out what is the excess cash that's going to be there in the business, what is the working capital they should be leaving behind, and what is the accounts receivables which are good and which are not. So we have the formula determination done before the transaction, but now we are waiting for the actual numbers to arrive. So I'm assuming we'll have it by the December quarter, where we have a full consolidation for the quarter for philosophy as well.
So in December quarter, we'll get to know the philosophy numbers as well, right? In consolidated report.
Right. So it will show in our quarterly consolidation as well, and so we'll have notes on accounts to explain what it is.
And what is the current cash and investments, free cash flow, cash and investments on our balance sheet?
So it is also shared in the presentation. If you look at it, we have current assets of about. This is about 77 crores. This financial asset of 71 crores. And so put together we have about 77 crores in our current assets. And since we still have a couple of tranches to be paid in future, we'll know by December as to what is the non-committed or the free cash in the books.
Mm-hmm.
After the liability, the contingent liability.
Okay. And last question is on receivables. So our receivables have shooted sharply. They have increased to 25.6 crores from 21 crores. So are we seeing delay in payments or how is it?
I would say this is a normal business cycle. We don't see any red flag at this point in time. It's just... I would say just a normal business cycle. If all the client would want to delay it normally, they will pre-inform us. But there is no red flag.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Aman Thadani from Corosium Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Very, very congratulations, sir, for a very good set of numbers.
Thank you, Aman.
Sir, my question is, since you acquired a few Fortune 500 clients in the last fiscal, so what's the timeline? Like, when will we be able to achieve a revenue of $1 million from them?
That's a very good question, and the Aman, the unfortunately the answer is I have no idea. to be very honest. What happens is when we go into an account, we in a services business you have to build trust, and you know, in order to generate a larger share of the revenue. I can visualize some of the clients where we have been going there, we've been talking to them, and we are in particularly in one client, we are working in five geographies, five countries actually. So India, Malaysia, Portugal, Czech Republic, and Germany. Now, I was very confident that we'll be able to hit $1 million account value pretty soon. But it so happened that the client, you know, had some internal issues and they wanted to hold on some work that we were doing for them. So it's extremely tricky to, unless we have a committed contract in front of us, there is no way we can, you know, comment on it. However, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to convert some of them very quickly into $1 million value. But at this point in time, it is very difficult to comment how many of them will become that kind of size. It's like a seesaw, right? Sometimes they go very fast and very rapid expansion, and then all of a sudden they put brakes, and then, you know, we were hoping that we'll become $1 million account this year, but now 6 months left and, you know, it's not moving as fast. You know, it is extremely difficult to really comment on that. So our attempt is to make, you know, penetrate into those accounts both deeper and wider. So we go into multiple departments as well and try and generate, you know, as much revenue as possible. But, you know, it's an organic thing and it takes its own time. Let me also tell you that we have a separate client success team which takes care of the existing customers. And secondly, we have also made another change in our sales team where we're saying that your commission or your you know, value of the deal, the part of the revenue share that you get as a part of commission would be given to you, but you have to handle the client for next 24 months. So we are trying to generate you know, double efforts in terms of sales and client success to generate more value per client at a faster pace. So these are the attempts we're making, but it's very difficult to comment on which one will become $1 million and which will not.
Okay. Thank you. And sir, one more question regarding the Ind AS effect. So we see these EBITDA and PAT margins of around 29 and 17-18%. So were these margins only because of the Ind AS effect, or there were some efficiency efforts from Infobean side also?
Correct. So the only impact of EBITDA, let me break it into two parts. If you look at the EBITDA, it has a lot of impact of Ind AS. Okay. But it is also a performance improvement, because if you look at the employee benefit expense, an increase of more than 3 crores in revenue, there is a decrease in the employee benefit expense.
Okay.
So we have improved slightly there. The second thing that you see, which is PAT, which is absolutely zero impact of, a very, very minimal impact of Ind AS.
Okay.
So from a PAT margin, we have improved significantly. So yes, there is an improvement in the performance. Plus, there is a benefit from the finance minister as well. So the overall impact for the MAT reduction for us would be a saving up of about 1 crore rupees.
Okay.
So this is also adding up.
And sir, there was an effect of 3 CR on your net worth also. So can you just explain what was the change and what was that effect for?
So it is in terms of, you know, figuring out. So Ind AS will allow us to, you know, value our assets at a fair market value.
Okay.
And you know, all the investments and bonds or mutual funds or even the assets that we have in our business, when they do a fair market valuation there, then there is a jump there. And I think that is where the impact is coming from.
Okay, got it. Okay, that would be also. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Ashish Rampuria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Avinash. One quick question. What would be the normative organic growth one should expect from the organization on an annual basis?
See, that's a good question. We've been growing organically all this while, and even organic is always susceptible to the market conditions. There are actually several factors, right from market conditions to each individual clients to each geography that we are operating in. There are so many factors that decide how fast and how quick we can grow organically as well. So that was the reason that we went ahead and diluted ourselves to look at inorganic growth as well. So from an organic point, we had a very bad March quarter, and June has improved from there. September is a better quarter than June. So we are on a progressing chart. We are on a positive chart. This year, obviously, the anticipation is going to be much less. It looks like it is going to be under 10% compared to the previous year. But usually we anticipate anywhere between 15 to 20% growth organically. If I look at last 4 years, we have a CAGR of 29%. If I look at 5 years, we have a CAGR of about 20%. So that way, and all of this has been organic. So with the client addition that we have done in last 18 months, I'm extremely positive that we will be able to expand our base and generate growth on the current size that we are. But I'm also very hopeful that this synergy that we generate philosophy should also give us another impetus. And then, philosophy numbers that will come in. So we continue to aim ourselves with a combination of organic and inorganic to double ourselves every 2 years. That's the stated objective, that's a stated goal for us for last so many years. And we make all the attempts to go in that direction. But there are few things, as I said, there are so many external factors, variables, which may not show up the growth quarter to quarter.
Understandable. Hence, I asked the question on an annual basis. So what if I may just rephrase, right? What you are saying is you are decently confident that you will sort of get back to your 15-20% organic growth from maybe FY21 onwards. Is that understanding? Would that be correct?
Right. I would say that is the constant goal for us. And this year is subdued because of various factors. But yes, we should be back on track. And that is, as I said, that is the goal. That is the aim that we want to take it. 15-20% growth is a standard organic growth that we should see.
Right. So just to add to that, right? So this year was subdued for multiple reasons, right? So what steps have we taken so that those factors are mitigated and we can get back to that high teens or 20% growth rate?
So as you have already seen, last two quarters we have improved from March. The reason why we had a subdued March was because of the clients, restricting their business. They are into contraction mode and they are not expanding. So having said that, we have, as I said, our sales team is active and we have added significant account. We have got $1 million deal directly from one client. So that is a significant outcome in terms of the efforts that we've been making. We also are very conscious on the cost side. So we are, putting restrictions there as well in terms of being more efficient so that the PAT margins don't get affected as badly. In fact, we have improvement here this time. On the growth side, as I said, we have been making constant efforts, not only in our existing customers to upsell into those accounts, as well as, you know, that Aman asked that how many Fortune 500, we have so many Fortune 500 customers, are we, when are we expanding into it so that we become $1 million accounts. So we are consciously investing our time and energy in, you know, building and expanding ourselves into those accounts. So it's an organic cycle. It takes slow, steady process, and it shows results gradually. So as I said, all of these efforts. So if you look at Infobeam's history, we usually work with 40-50 clients. That's it. We add 5-6 clients in a year. But in last, you know, 2 years, in the last fiscal, we added 17 clients. In first 6 months, we have added about 13 clients. So we are generating that sales momentum. And in that, we have, as I said, bigger names as well coming in. So if out of these 30 clients accumulated in last 18 months, if I am able to, you know, at least convert 4 or 5 of them into a more than $1 million value, I think we are all set.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And to Aman, to answer your query, if you look at the notes given in the, so we have submitted our numbers to NSE, and there is notes to it which explains the 3 crores of net worth increase.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then 1. The next question is from the line of Sachit Motwani from Param Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Avinashji. Very good morning.
Good morning, Sachit.
Yeah, so a couple of questions. Can you throw some color on your order book or TCV, or can you start announcing the contract value of the deal wins on a half yearly or quarterly basis? Is that possible, or if you can throw some color on how that is moving?
So it's a mixed bag, Sachit. What happens is some of the clients are willing to sign a year or multi-year contract.
Right.
And but the majority of the clients, even the big ones that we have, they don't sign that kind of contracts with us. So they might give us a verbal thing, they might put it on an email, but they don't really get into a contract. And a lot of work, a lot of SOW that we get is on a 6 month basis.
Okay.
So they keep on renewing those. They keep on adding on to it. But if we go at the start of the year and, you know, ask for a full year budget, they are not in a position to do that.
Okay.
And there are various reasons for that, but that is how our business has been traditionally. And but as and when we get visibility on a contract or a longer term value, we are making an attempt to announce it, like what we did for ASME. So the challenge here is I can only announce, let's say, 10-20% of it.
Okay.
I can't really go with the visibility of the remaining 80%.
So it is
of no use at this point in time.
Okay. And sir, second question is on this $1 million contract that you won. Sir, this contract, the margins are going to be at par with what the console margins are there. Fair to assume that?
Yes, yes. We don't go on rate discounting or we do not cut the price so low that it will affect our margins.
Understood.
We don't compete on rates. We compete on capabilities.
Understood.
And therefore we normally are able to protect our margins.
Okay. And sir, what is the reason for having a Bangalore facility? Anything that we are going to focus India business or something? Is that thought process there on the mind?
Not necessarily. We don't really do that. I think the reason why we have to do it is we already had people working in Bangalore from our client offices.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another client in Chennai. So we have about 40 odd people working from there. So, and then, about a dozen in Bangalore. So we had a little choice but to open our office there. All of these people who are working in the client locations in India, they are the captives of the larger companies, the Fortune 500 companies that I'm talking about.
Okay.
So these are the captive centers. And that is so, therefore, you know, it is like a overseas revenue for us. Some of them are actually $1 billion.
Understood.
So it's just that the work is getting done in India, but the contract and the billing is, you know, from an overseas parent.
Right. Balance sheet related questions. So one was the previous participant mentioned about receivables. So if I look at on a standalone balance sheet, the receivables have gone up from 21 to 29 crores. So any particular reason why, or this is a trend that is happening in all half yearly results?
No, this is a one time aberration, I would say. Now I realize why, what are you talking about? So this is so we were holding money in our US subsidiary to fund this acquisition.
Okay.
So we didn't bring it to India, otherwise we'll have to convert it into INR and then do a reverse conversion again and to transfer money back to US. So we were holding it for that purpose, and that's the reason why AR has gone up.
Okay. It's the same reason why your cash flow also has been impacted. Fair to assume that?
Yes.
Okay. And sir, on your balance sheet itself, there is one item called the financial liabilities on the non-current side, which is which was not there in the March quarter, but now it's about 5 crores. So this is on account of
This is on account of restatement under Ind AS.
Okay.
So all the lease that we have, they are split into two. Anything which is more than a year goes into non-current financial liabilities. Anything which is under a year goes into current liabilities. So okay. I put together a total impact of 7.5 crores in these two buckets.
Okay. And lastly, on your the clients which are already there, which you've been doing business with, can you throw some color as to what kind of growth they have seen from existing clients? That would be helpful.
So that is, I think, one of the bigger reasons why the growth is looking subdued. Some of the big clients are not growing as fast as we would assume. So that is where the large impact is, but they've given promises. They've told us that the things will be better from now. They have actually asked us to hire more people. We have 170 positions open at this point in time.
Okay.
So there is a positivity, but as I said, the visibility on actual revenue growth is a little low. Because they don't commit for a long duration. So we have a lot of work in pipeline. But yes, some of the big clients among top 10, I would say, some of them have slowed down and not growing as fast as you would have.
Okay. So, but there's no deceleration anywhere, right? Degrowth from any of the major top or any of the top clients?
It balances out. So one which there's a degrowth and there's a growth in some other, but the overall pie is not moving as fast as you would imagine it to be.
Understood.
So it's always a mix, right? Not everybody grows.
Yeah.
Not every client, and that's where you keep on adding new clients so that you take care of those gaps.
Okay. And after philosophy, how will the on-site and offshore mix look like? Because I think predominantly you are offshore and they are on-site. So total combined entity, how will the on-site offshore mix look like for the combined entity?
So we have a very clear intent here. We don't want to downsize any of the businesses, neither philosophy nor India. We actually want to grow both the businesses and we want to grow hand in hand. So our on-site and offshore mix will be now what it is. So earlier it was, 850 people, maybe 5 on-site and rest in India.
Right.
Now it is 50 plus 850 offshore. So 50 on-site and 850 offshore.
Okay.
So that ratio will probably be there, you know, in future.
Okay. And just a clarification, the consolidated entity, philosophy and Infobeans put together, should be roughly 200 crores of top line.
Yes, for the next 12 months, if I combine together, it will be definitely beyond that.
Okay.
I think when the consolidation happens by the end of March, we are still debating. You know, some say it is 2 months, 2 quarters. Some say it is 4 quarters. So let's finalize on that and then
we'll come back. Okay, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you so much and wish you a very happy Diwali. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for all of your participation and time. I appreciate your interest in Infobeans. Rest assured, Infobeans will continue to grow on the growth trajectory that we have charted for ourselves. Obviously there are down times and up times in the business, and that cycle continues. I'm very positive that we have moved from a very bad quarter in March to much better numbers now, and we obviously anticipate it to be going better moving forward. And this inorganic growth that has happened should certainly put us on the fast forward track, meeting our ideals of doubling ourselves every 2 years. So we continue on that vision, and we continue to work sincerely on the business, and I anticipate and expect support from all of you. Thank you very much for being associated with me.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Infobeans Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.